Let's go back to Acts 2 and verse 14. But Peter, taking his stand with the 11, raised his voice and declared to them, "Men of Judea, and all of you who live in Jerusalem, let this be known to you, and give heed to my words. For these men are not drunk, as you suppose, for it is only the third hour of the day. But this is what was spoken through the prophet Joel." Remember, we read that. We were in Joel earlier. "It shall come about in the last days, God says, I will pour out forth on my spirit upon all mankind, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your young men shall see visions. Your old men shall dream dreams. Upon bond slaves, both men and women, and I will in those days pour forth of my spirit, and they shall prophesy. And I will grant wonders in the sky above and signs in the earth beneath." Now, let's see if God really means what he says. Let's look in Hebrews chapter 13. 13 and 8. Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, yes, and forever. "And do not be carried away by varied and strange teachings, for it is good for the heart to be strengthened by grace, not by foods through which those who were thus occupied were not benefited." And what he's saying here is there's all kinds of teachings, just like he said in Timothy about denying the power thereof. There are all kinds of teachings saying that you received everything you're going to get when you got saved. And that is not a good teaching. That is not the truth. It's not in the Word. Did Jesus mean what he said to us about the promise of the Father? Go to Hebrews 6 and 18. "Even the same way God," I'm reading verse 17, "in the same way God, desiring even more to show to the heirs of the promise the unchangeableness of his purpose, interposed with an oath in order that by two unchangeable things, in which it is impossible for God to lie, we may have strong encouragement, we who have fled for refuge in laying hold of the hope that is set before us. For this hope we have as an anchor of the soul, a hope both sure and steadfast, and one which enters within the veil, where Jesus has entered as a forerunner for us, having become a high priest forever, according to the order of Melchizedek." He promised him. We have this hope that they were told to wait because it was Pentecost, it was a feast, it had to be that way. But we don't have to wait anymore. We just need to move forward. The Bible says in 1 Peter 1:24 and 25, "All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord abides forever." I'm giving you those scriptures so you can have faith in what he's saying about receiving the baptism in the Holy Ghost. In Titus 1:2, "In the hope of eternal life, which God, who cannot lie, promised long ages ago." Now, how do you receive? Acts 2:38 says you must repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. So repentance is the key. Buried with Christ, and it's either after or before, it doesn't make any difference. Like again, the salvation is what it is. But before you can receive, there are some conditions which must be met. This is true of all of God's promises. God doesn't give any promise in the Bible where you don't have a condition to meet it. There's some part that you must play in receiving something from God. If you do not believe, you will not receive. James 1:6-8 says, "But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed by the wind. For that person must not suppose that a double-minded man is unstable in all his ways will receive anything from the Lord." The conditions for receiving, we read it earlier, I read it to you, and the scripture says ask. How much more shall we give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? And it says also, how do you receive? You know exactly how you receive, by faith. The condition to receiving from God is to ask, and it will be given. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and it will be opened. For everyone who asks receives, and he who seeks finds. And to him who knocks, it will be opened. What father among you, if his son asks for a fish, will instead of a fish give him a serpent? If asked for an egg, he will give him a scorpion. If you then, who are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will the Heavenly Father give the Holy Ghost to them that ask? Luke 11:9-13. Go to Galatians 3. Galatians chapter 3. Let's start with verse 12. However, the law is not of faith. On the contrary, he who practices them shall live by them. Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law, having become a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who hangs on a tree. In order that in Christ Jesus the blessings of Abraham might come to the Gentiles, so that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Now, if you receive the Holy Ghost by faith, which is that the way all of us have, what do you receive when you receive that? Well, by confessing with our mouth, and by asking for forgiveness of sins and repenting, and by asking the Holy Spirit, and receiving all that God has us for us by faith. Now we can return back to Acts. We're actually not returning, we're just tying it up. You return back to Acts 1. And you go to verse 8, but you, Rex, you Arthur, you Priscilla, you Lynn, you Chris and Susie and Fred and whomever, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you. And you shall be my witnesses, both in Jerusalem and Judea and Samaria, and even to the uttermost and remotest parts of the earth. Now we come to the thing that separates the people from believing and receiving. And it's, what is it? You all know what it is, speaking in tongues. There are people out there, that's all they want to do. I want to see the Holy Ghost so I can speak in tongues. And there's some out there, no, I don't want to do that because I don't want to lose control of my life and be talking to my family or talking to my boss and all of a sudden I'm speaking in tongues. That's not the way it works. You, if you speak English just like I'm speaking right now, if I don't open my mouth, nothing's going to come out. And if I decide, even though I want something to come out, and I decide I don't want to say it, it won't come out even then. The Holy Ghost in times of worship will overtake you, yes, He will. And you will reach a point in your prayers, in your English, or whatever language you speak, that you can't get there. You just can't get there. And the Holy Ghost will touch your spirit, and He will use He will begin to speak through you. And we're going to cover that in Corinthians if we have time. It's 9, my watch says 9:25. But most of the problem with speaking in tongues, just like most of the problem with the fivefold ministry, is that the church has been taught there's no such things as apostles and prophets anymore. There's only teachers, pastors, and evangelists. And when someone says he's a prophet, not that you have to say it, because you'll know it by their fruit, the Bible says. You'll know it by their love of the brethren, the Bible says. But those ministries are not gone. The baptism in the Holy Ghost is not gone. Mark 16:15-18, which is not even an authority under the Holy Ghost, those are just signs of a believer. But it's the speaking in tongues that separates the receivers from the non-receivers. And it's the thing. It is the schism that evil has brought into the body of Christ to keep it from being powerful as God wants it to be. If you're not seeking tongues, if you're seeking the Holy Ghost and whatever it is that He has for you, then you will get everything He has. And you will be obedient to what He wants you to do. In the book of Acts, when they were up in the upper room, the apostles and the other disciples and Jesus' mother and a multitude of others, they were praying and they were in one accord and they were seeking that which God told them to receive. He told them to go over there and wait for it, for the promise of the Holy Ghost come unto you. They're already believers. Didn't say they got saved. It said the Holy Ghost came in unto them. And God did not let them down. And God won't let you down. He didn't let me down. He didn't let Priscilla down. But we have blocks in our lives. We can receive something from some person, but we can't receive it from someone else. All of us have that. So the key is, if you're hungry and you're thirsty, like it said in the Old Testament, what you're going to do is find somebody that can pray for you. And you just believe and receive. In Acts 2:2-4, it says, and suddenly a sound came from heaven like the rush of a mighty wind. And it filled all the house where they were sitting. Filled all the house. Filled all the house. Your house that he's trying to fill. Fill all the house where they were sitting. And there appeared to them tongues of fire distributed and resting on each of them. And they were all filled. They were all filled. They were all filled. Not just half of them. Not two or three. All of them. With the Holy Ghost. And began to speak in other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And that's a key. The Spirit gave them the utterance. So what did they have to do? If I told you to say my name, Rex, and you decided you're not going to say it, then there isn't anything I could do to force you to say my name. Nothing. If the Holy Ghost moves upon your life and you feel a groaning and an uttering and you see or you hear or you read, because I've had people tell me all of those things. I've had people say, well, when you prayed for me, I saw a book, and they were just weird language. And I said, well, just read it. Read what you see. I pray for people that they hear, and I've heard them say after they began to speak, well, I'm just saying your language. I said, well, go ahead and tell me. Why don't you say what you're hearing? Say it to me. And when they say what they're hearing, it's not at all what I was saying. And then we say it together. I say, you listen to me, I'll listen to you. And they say, you're right, it's not the same. If God wanted it to be hard, he wouldn't have given us directions in the book. He'd let us be dicking around trying to figure out how to get this job done. But he wants to make it easy. If you don't say what you hear or what you see or what you read or what comes, what wells up out of it, because the Bible says out of your belly shall flow rivers, not one river or one stream, but rivers of living water. But he wants to use your tongue and my tongue. Why? Because he wants to prophesy and glorify. He wants to be glorified. And he wants wisdom and knowledge to be departed in personal prophecy and prophets to the nations. And he wants dreams to come forth and visions to come forth. And he wants you to build yourself up. All of this we'll cover in Corinthians. God is a Father. He's the Son and the Holy Ghost. He's made up. He's a triune being. We are a body. We have a soul. We have a spirit. And it says in Thessalonians 5:23, may your spirit and soul and body be kept sound and blameless at the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore God has given us a way to worship him in spirit and truth. For such the Father seeks to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him will worship him in spirit and truth. That's John 4:23 and 24. Now God won't force you to speak in tongues. He won't force you to prophesy either. So if you don't speak in tongues and you're baptized in the Holy Ghost, just then go ahead and prophesy. But you need to be yielded. To do either, you have to be yielded. Is there any good for anybody speaking in tongues? You know, people say, well, you speak in tongues. Didn't Paul say that I prophesy in part and I speak in part and that will all go away? Well, it's not going away yet, and we still see in part, like Brother David said, and we're still growing and we're still getting pressed and stretched and doing everything that God wants to do in our life so that we can be obedient to him. And he's trying to mold us and shape us and change us. And we just have to be obedient. And part of that obedience is what we're studying tonight. Part of that obedience is being obedient to the full counsel of God. You don't have a right to leave anything out. Neither do I. Because you don't understand it doesn't mean that you can leave it out. There's a lot of things in this Bible I don't understand. There are some dark things, but praise God, iron sharpens iron. Deep calleth unto deep. And we get to rub on each other, and we get to be molded and touched by each other so that we can gain from each other. That's what he wants us to do. He wants to make us one. So, you know, what good is speaking in tongues? Well, let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Start with verse 1. Pursue love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts. Well, we're talking about being baptized in the Holy Ghost, but pretty soon Paul's going to make a distinction between these gifts and the distinction between what God has deposited in your life when you were born. Your spirit had this ability when it was born. The Bible says that he knew all our parts in 139 Psalm. He knew us before we were in our mother's womb, and he made us specifically to glorify and to serve him, and he made a way for us to chat with him and to talk with him that is unencumbered by our mind. Praise God forever. to feel love, yet desire earnestly spiritual gifts, but especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men. Okay, now, you need to make notes. For one who speaks in a tongue does not speak to men, but to God. For no one understands, but in his spirit, small s, the spirit you have, in his spirit he speaks mysteries. Praise God forever. The one who prophesies speaks to men for edification, exhortation, and consolation. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. Underline that. That's a pretty good reason to do it. Just right there. And we're not talking about interpretation now. We're not talking about any of those things. What we're talking about right now, I'm getting some messages while I'm teaching this, and we're going to pray with all of you. I mean, there's enough of us here that are in the room and around, and we're going to pray and agree, and God's going to do. He is faithful and just. But anyway, one who speaks in a tongue edifies himself. So, hey, isn't that wonderful? But one who prophesies edifies the church. Well, you know, they would say, well, I'm selfish. If I speak in tongues, I'm being selfish. Well, to me, edify, if you look the word edify up, God says, hey, you're doing a good job. And if it edifies the church, hey, the church is doing a good job. Hey, the body's doing a good job. People get built up. But you know, when you get in your prayer closet, it might be great for God to be blessing you and touching you and saying, hey, my son, my daughter, I really love you. You know, because the Bible says, we'll read it further on, he says, when a man prays in tongues and there's no one to interpret, let him pray to himself. So isn't it great? Why don't you ask God to give you the interpretation of your prayer language and begin to see what he's telling you? You know, there's a lot of times I've gone to pray, and there might be others of you out there, I've gone to pray, Father, I don't know how to pray about this. So-and-so is sick, or so-and-so has this problem, or I have this going down in my life, I have this problem in my business. Father, I don't know how to pray about it anymore. I don't know what I'm fixing to say, but I'm fixing to pray in my spirit and just believe that my spirit will not your spirit, and it will bear witness one with another, and you will begin to reveal to me what it is that I need to do. And I believe that Brother Dave was walking down the street, and he told the story in English, but I would venture to say that he was probably praying in tongues. And if he wasn't, that's okay. But it wouldn't surprise me if he was talking to the Father in tongues. And it wouldn't bother me if he was doing that. It shouldn't bother you. One who speaks in a tongue edifies himself, but one who prophesies edifies the church. Now, I wish that you all spoke in tongues. Mark that down. I wish that you all. Not everybody's going to do it because a lot of people got goofy doctrines. Bible, that's why Jesus said, you know, don't believe every wind of doctrine. Spirit says that himself. It says that we'll follow doctrines of demons. Okay? But even more than that, you would prophesy. And greater is the one who prophesies than the one who speaks in tongues, pay attention, unless he interprets, so that the church may receive edifying. But now, brethren, if I come to you speaking in tongues, what shall I profit you, unless I speak to you either by way of revelation or knowledge, or of prophecy or of teaching? Yet even likely things, either flute or harp, producing a sound, if they do not produce a distinction in the tone, how will it be known what is played on the flute or on the harp? Well, if I was talking to you right now in tongues, none of you probably would be understanding what I'm saying. So you wouldn't benefit from that. But believe me, before I got on here tonight, I prayed in tongues about it. I prayed in tongues quite a bit today. So that the Spirit of the Lord would be strong in me, and he would have his will and his way. For if the bugle produces an indistinct sound, he will prepare himself for battle. So also you, unless you utter by the tongue speech that is clear, how will it be known what is spoken? For you will be speaking into the air. There are perhaps a great many kinds of languages in the world, and no kind is without meaning. If then I do not know the meaning of the language, then I shall be to you one who speaks a barbarian, and the one who speaks will be a barbarian to me. So also you, since you are zealous, mark it down. This is where you're in my life meet the road. Are you zealous of spiritual gifts? Seek to abound for the edification of the church. In other words, quit seeking to speak in tongues, start seeking to prophesy. That's what he's talking about. But speaking in tongues is wonderful because he allows it up in the very front of this exhortation that he's given in chapter 14. Therefore, let one who speaks in a tongue pray that he may interpret. There are guidelines. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. Now, here's another good thing. When I pray in tongues, my spirit prays. That's pretty good. And it bypasses my brain. My brain doesn't even get involved. It doesn't have anything to say. Now, I got another message. We're going to pray. There's quite a few, Brother Dave and Corey and Bob. There's people we need. We're going to pray. I'm almost done. Don't go to bed. I'm almost done. What is the outcome then? I shall pray with the spirit, and I will pray with the mind also. You know, when pastors say, you know, you don't need to pray. Paul did it. Prayed in the spirit and prayed in his understanding. I shall sing with the spirit, and I shall sing with the mind also. It's wonderful to hear people sing in tongues. It's wonderful. Wonderful. Otherwise, if you bless in the Spirit only, how will the one who fills the place of the ungifted say amen at your giving of thanks, since he does not know what you are saying? Verse 17 is very important, people. For you are giving thanks well. You see, you just don't know it. You're giving thanks. But the other man is not edified. I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. However, in the church, I desire to speak five words of my mind, that I may instruct others also, rather than 10,000 words in tongues. And the church has taken that scripture right there and twisted it to the fact that they don't allow revelation, knowledge, and wisdom, and the gifts of the Holy Ghost to operate in the congregation, because what they do is, they say, no, that's passed away, be quiet, you can't be doing that. When it's totally against what God says. When God's in control of the church, He'll do what He wants, won't He? We just need to learn to let Him do that for us. But one of the things you need to know is what we've read here in 1 Corinthians 14 is that who's doing the speaking? Paul says, when I do these things, when I pray, when I speak in the Spirit, that means he can do it when he wants to. I will admit that there are times when you get in a service and you begin to worship, and if there's freedom there, you may give a message and you may interpret it, but you will be directed and it will be in order, and there will be someone there that is an interpreter, or you will interpret yourself. Or if you know that nothing is there, you do like Paul says, you pray it under your breath. I have done that many times. Many times. We edify ourselves. It says in Romans 8:26, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray as we ought, but the Spirit Himself intercedes for us with sighs too deep for words. As you exercise your vocation, you know, you get baptized in the Holy Ghost, you speak in tongues. If you do it that one time, you know, you people say, well, you can do it once, or they have the gift of tongues, but I don't have that. I spoke in tongues once, and I can't do it anymore. That's not what we just read in 1 Corinthians 14. You can speak in tongues whenever you want to. Paul says, I'll pray in my spirit and pray in my mind. I'll sing in my spirit, and I'll sing in with my understanding. So, you know, those scriptures don't wash when people say that you can't do that, because you can do that. The church needs to give up control and let the Holy Ghost have control of it. You know, Jesus says, behold, in Revelation 3:20, He says, behold, I stand at the door and knock. And he who opens, okay, that's corporately and individually. He's standing outside a lot of churches, okay? Unless the Spirit helps us in our weaknesses, for we do not know how to pray. As we exercise our vocabulary and our unknown language, you become stronger. You know, when you were 10 and 11 years old and you studied and wrote and you spoke, you spoke like a 10 and 11 year old. But now as you get older and you're an adult, you have a bigger vocabulary, you know how to do punctuation, you know how to write. There's a lot of things that you know how to do now as you have grown older with your own language. Well, if that's a principle that works in the world, why would it not work in the Spirit? Because that's where we all originated. We originated in the Spirit. You know, when you were young, you spoke a certain way. Yet you grew older, your speech and structure improved. As you allow your spirit to inhabit more of your life, your prayer language will grow. Thus, use it as much as you can. Paul said, I thank God I speak in tongues more than you all. But what if I refuse to receive the Holy Ghost and I stop others from doing it? Well, let's talk about that just a minute. So my brethren, earnestly desire to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. That's 1 Corinthians 14:39. If you want to open your Bible to it. Verse 37 says, if anyone thinks he's a prophet or spiritual, let him recognize that the things which I write to you are the Lord's, what? Are the Lord's commandment. That's not a pastor saying that you can't do it. That's the Spirit of God that told Paul, says, I'm commanding you this. But if anyone does not recognize this, He is not recognized either. Paul just said, okay, you don't recognize what I'm telling you? Well, I don't recognize you because you don't know what's going on. But if anyone does not recognize this, he is not recognized. Therefore, my brethren, desire earnestly to prophesy, and do not forbid to speak in tongues. But let all things be done properly and in an orderly manner. Because you and I both know God is a gentleman. His Holy Ghost is a gentleman. And he's not the author of confusion. So consequently, he's not going to have a meeting that's all out of sorts. If he's in control, it's going to be organized. And if you or I or anyone, and I've heard numerous people, no, you don't need to do that. They need to be careful. They need to be quiet. A person with a theory has no strength over a person who's had an experience. If you've had an experience of healing with the Holy Ghost, with the love of Jesus Christ in your life, there's nobody that can steal that from you. It doesn't make any difference if he doesn't heal anybody else that you ever meet in your life. He healed you, and you know it. And you know he can do it. And you know he wants to do it. It's the same thing with the Spirit. It's the same thing with everything in the Word. A person who's never had an experience of salvation cannot talk to somebody and tell them how to get saved. And you really can't tell somebody how to get saved because God has to draw you, and he has to woo you, and he has to touch your heart, and he has to mold and shape you. If we would be obedient to Holy Ghost, we would do the job that Jesus wants us to do a lot quicker instead of trying to force feed everybody what we try to do. God wants them that love him, and he has chosen them already. So we just need to move in it. You know, I wrote this many years ago. I wrote this down, and most of you know this is just a little something for you to ponder about the baptism in the Holy Ghost, is that we know that airplanes flying all over the planet every day and every night. They fly in there right now. A lot of them are going faster than the speed of sound, which makes a big noise when you break the speed of sound. But we don't hear it. We heard it. We wouldn't be able to sit here. We wouldn't be able to talk. We wouldn't be able to do anything. But does that mean that it's not happening? No, it's happening. You know it's happening. So it's the same thing with us. Just because an experience hasn't happened to you, whatever it is, doesn't mean it's not valid. But it also means that if it happened to me, it'll happen to you. Why? Because God's not a respecter of persons. Now, the Bible says in John 8, it says, you shall know the truth, and the truth will make you free. That's a process. We're all being made free. You know, as we read Dave's revelations that the Holy Ghost has given him in Hidden Manna and Sovereign God and George Warnock's books and some of Howard Pittman's books, and there's all kinds of other authors that God has put there for us to glean and feed off of, that you have to take off your comfort zone. You know, you have to get uncomfortable. You know, you got to put on them tight shoes because God wants to put a little tight shoe on you so that he can change you. It says in John 15 and 22, it says, if I had not come and spoken to them, they would not have sinned. But now they have no excuse for their sin. It also says that in Romans. We have no excuse. After what I've shared with the amount of scripture that I've shared with you today, and it's chronological about God's love for wanting to have his Spirit on his people. He prophesied it in the Old Testament. He fulfilled it in the New Testament. And he has not stopped. The Word says he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. It says that he will never leave or forsake us. So everything in there is in operation today. It makes no difference who tells you different. It's operable for today. And that's what I hear all laced in the messages that Dave gives, is that it's available to you and to me and to the body. Glory to God forever. Galatians 3:14 says we receive the Spirit by faith. If we doubt, it means we do not believe, and if we do not believe, then we have no faith, and that really makes the Lord sad. That's Romans 14:23. You won't be controlled by a crazy spirit. You won't babble crazily. You won't become nuts. You won't roll on the floor. You won't do any of those crazy things. For God is not given, and most people talk about, when you talk about speaking in tongues, they get fearful. How can that be from God when God says, I don't give you a spirit of fear, but a spirit of power and love and a sound mind? That's 2 Timothy 1:7. It says that God is not the author of confusion in 1 Corinthians 14:33. It says in Acts 2:2-4, it says they all spoke in tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. I've got quite a bit left to go, but it's almost 10:10. Let's bring this to a close so that we can pray. But what I do want to do is show you something. I'd like for you to open your Bible, and we'll just read some scriptures, and you just stay in the book of Acts. And I'm going to close on Acts, and then we're going to pray. But we're going to go through a lot of scriptures, and I'll go through them rather quickly. In Acts 1:5, it says, "For John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now." The many days are over. There's no more waiting. The Holy Spirit was given on that day. There's no more tarrying. You don't have to tarry. That's a false teaching. Chapter 2:4 says, "And they were all filled with the Holy..." You need to circle the alls and the evermores and all of those things in your Bible so you can see that God's not joking about this. "And they were all filled with the Holy Ghost and began to speak with other tongues, and the Spirit gave them utterance." Verse 2:33, "Therefore, having been exalted to the right hand of God and having received from the Father the promise of the Holy Ghost, He has poured forth this which you both now see and hear." The promise of the Holy Ghost, okay? Acts 3:38. There's no 3:38. Hold on. Verse 12, "But when Peter saw this, he replied to the people, 'Men of Israel, why do you marvel at this, or why do you gaze upon us as if by our own power or piety we had made him walk? The God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our fathers, has glorified his servant Jesus, the one whom you delivered up and disowned in the presence of Pilate. But you disowned the Holy and Righteous One and asked for a murder to be granted unto you.'" I have written a bad scripture down. I'm not going to pursue that because we're running out of time. 4:8, "Then Peter, filled with the Holy Spirit, said to them, 'Rulers and elders of the people.'" So the Holy Spirit filled him then, which means that you continually be filled, because he was filled in the upper room, remember? Filled in the upper room. But the Holy Ghost, if you continue to feast on the Word, you continue to be filled. Verse 4:31, "And when they prayed, the place where they had gathered together was shaken, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost, and began to speak the Word of God with boldness." Well, there's one of the things that happens when you get filled with the Holy Ghost, besides speaking in tongues and prophesying. But we'll mark them down as we go. Verse 5:32, "And we are witnesses of these things, and so is the Holy Ghost, whom God has given to those who obey Him." So there's another piece of the criteria. And what is the obedience? The obedience is that you must be in the family of God. Okay? Chapter 6, verse 5, "And the statement found approval with the whole congregation, and they chose Stephen, a man full of faith." So there's two things here. Full of faith and of the Holy Ghost, "and Philip, and Procurus, Nacor, Nanacorus, Timon, Parmenas, and Nicholas, a proselyte from Antioch." And in chapter 8:15, "who came down and prayed for them." We'll start with 13. "And even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized..." Now here's a guy, we all heard about Simon, and I've taught a lot of lessons on Simon, being getting saved and getting baptized in water, and wanting to receive the Holy Ghost, and he had to be corrected, and that's exactly what the Holy Ghost did. But it said even Simon himself believed, and after being baptized, he continued on with Philip, and as he observed signs and great miracles taking place, he was constantly amazed. "Now when the apostles in Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent them Peter and John, who came down and prayed for them," mark it down, "that they might receive the Holy Ghost." So they had all gotten saved, okay? And in this case, they had all gotten baptized. But they were wanting the Holy Ghost. "For he had not yet fallen upon any of them. They had simply been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they began laying their hands on them, and they were," mark it down, "receiving the Holy Ghost." Now how do we know that? Because Simon saw something. What did he see? He either heard them prophesying, or he saw them speaking in tongues, heard them speaking in tongues, but he saw and heard something. Doesn't make any difference what other pastors tell you. He wanted whatever it was that they were imparting by laying on of hands. "Now when Simon saw that the Spirit was bestowed through the laying on of the apostles' hands, he wanted to buy it." That's where he was corrupt. He wasn't totally sanctified yet. "Saying, 'Give this authority to me as well, that anyone on whom I may lay hands may receive the Holy Ghost.' But Peter said to him," and you know what he said, he cursed him, okay? Go to verse go to chapter 9, verse 17. And Ananias departed and entered the house, and after laying his hands on him, said, Brother Saul, the Lord Jesus, who appeared to you on the road by which you were coming, has sent me so that you may regain your sight and do what? Be filled with the Holy Ghost. Okay? And immediately there fell from his eyes something like scales, and he regained his sight. He arose and was baptized, and he took food and was strengthened. So he had the revelation of Christ. Okay? And we know Paul spoke in tongues because we just finished reading that in 1 Corinthians. Chapter 10, verse 44. While Peter was still... Let's start at 42. And he ordered us to preach to the people and solemnly to testify that this is the one who has been appointed by God as judge of the living and the dead. Of him also the prophets bear witness that through his name everyone who believes in him receives forgiveness of sins, teaching them salvation. And God had already called them. Okay? While Peter was still speaking these words, the Holy Ghost fell upon all those who were listening to the message. And all the circumcised believers who had come with Peter were amazed, because the gift of the Holy Ghost had been poured out on the Gentiles also. Why do they say that? For they were hearing them speaking with tongues and exalting God. Then Peter answered. Now here's where they get filled with the Holy Ghost before they got baptized. I gave you some examples of that in my experiences. Surely no one can refuse the water for these to be baptized who have received the Holy Ghost just as we did. Just as we did. Just as we did. Now that's it. It's in the Bible, folks. And he ordered them to be baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they asked him to stay on for a few days. Alright. And he shall speak words to you by which you will be saved, and you and all your household. And as I began to speak the Holy Ghost fell upon them just as he did upon us at the beginning. What happened at the beginning? And I remembered the word of the Lord, how he used to say, John baptized with water, but you shall be baptized with the Holy Ghost. If God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, see, it's not the gifts of the Holy Ghost, it's the Holy Ghost is the gift, okay? Inherent in him comes gifts, okay? The same gifts he gave to us, also after believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, if God therefore gave to them the same gift as he gave to us, also after believing, you understand? After believing in the Lord Jesus Christ, who was I that I should stand in God's way? And when they heard this, they cried it down and glorified God, saying, well then, God has granted to the Gentiles also the repentance that leads to life. Chapter 13. We're almost done. Chapter 13, verse 8. But Elymas, the magician, for thus his name is translated, was opposing them, seeking to turn the proconsul away from the faith. But Saul, who was also known as Paul, filled with the Holy Ghost, fixed his gaze upon him and said, you who are full of all deceit and fraud, you son of the devil, you enemy of all righteousness, will you not cease to make crooked the straight ways of the Lord? And now behold, the hand of the Lord is upon you, and you will be blind and not see the sun for a time. That's preparatory prayer, and the church is going to be doing that before Jesus returns. Chapter 15. Under the power and anointing of the Holy Ghost. Not witchcraft. Chapter 15. Start with verse 6. And the apostles and the elders came together to look into this matter. And after they had been much debate, Peter stood up and said to him, Brethren, you know that in the early days God made a choice among you that by my mouth the Gentiles should hear the word of the gospel and believe. And God, who knows the heart, bore witness to them, giving them the Holy Ghost, just as he did to us. And any time you hear giving the Holy Ghost, you need to go back to the upper room. Prophesying, speaking in tongues. It's inconclusive evidence. Chapter 19, and this is where we're going to end. And it's the title of the book that I wrote, Have You Received Since You Believed? Starting with verse 2, it says, And it came about that while Apollos was at Corinth, Paul, having passed through the upper country, came to Ephesus and found some disciples. Those are believers. And he said to them, did you receive the Holy Ghost when you believed? Meaning that you can receive him that way. You can receive him as we've shown proof throughout the entire book of Acts. And they answered him and said, no, we have not even heard whether there is a Holy Ghost. But they were disciples, people. That means that they were believers. And he said, into what then were you baptized? And they said, into John's baptism. And Paul said, John baptized with the baptism of repentance, telling the people to believe in him who was coming after him, that is, in Jesus. And when they heard this, they were baptized in the name of the Lord. And when Paul had laid his hands upon them, remember, the sorcerer saw that business too, and when Paul laid his hands upon them, the Holy Ghost came on him, and they came on them, and they began speaking with tongues and prophesying. And there was in all about 12 men. And I gave that story about the 12 men that were baptized in the swimming pool, and they got filled with the Holy Ghost coming up out of the water. There's more, but I've been long enough. What I'd like to do now, if it's okay with Brother Dave, I'd like for all of y'all that are listening, and I believe that every person that's listening that's in class should, if they don't already do it, should, if they're baptized in the Holy Ghost, they should ask the Lord to use them to pray for people to receive His Spirit, and they should believe that He will do it. And if there's any... And yes, I agree with the message I just received here on my screen. This is an important message. It is my heart. This is my heart. It is important in our last days, as much as we talk about last days, the Holy Ghost is an integral part of manifesting Christ in the earth. He is the teacher that shows us Christ. The Bible specifically says that. It is His heart to expose who we are so He can manifest who He is. And without the Holy Ghost's presence in our life, it cannot happen. So my prayer, going back, is that I would like very much for those of us to always be a ready writer to help them that are seeking the Holy Ghost. And it is my prayer tonight that if you do not have the baptism in the Holy Ghost, the infilling of the Holy Ghost, that you earnestly, while we pray tonight, you earnestly seek Him. You earnestly ask. And you ask God to forgive you of all of your doctrines that rebuke anything to do with the Holy Ghost. All of your doctrines and teachings and mindsets that said that you cannot, only certain people can, and it's a gift that only goes to someone other than you. It is something that God has deposited it in your life the day that you were conceived in your mother's womb. And He will not leave you alone if you seek Him for it, for Him, because He wants you to have the Holy Ghost. He wants you to, okay? That's not Rex speaking. That's the Bible. That's God's Word. He wants you, and He doesn't want you to tarry anymore. So, Father, I agree with all the believers, Father, that have been baptized in the Holy Ghost, Father, all of those that are in Pensacola right now in Dave's house that are agreeing, all that are across on the Internet, Father, that if they receive the baptism, Father, they speak into, we're not talking about gifts. That could be another lesson. There are 9 gifts. Yes. Yes, they are. But the gift that is talked about here is the Holy Ghost. It is a gift. It is a promise to you and I. And so, Father, I ask that we agree and we bind mindsets that has blocked receiving, Father. We break the power of evil, Father, that has stopped, because it's through Your Spirit, Father, that we grow. And Father, I thank You right now that those, Father, that are seeking the baptism in the Holy Ghost, Father, that one, that they make a confession of faith right everywhere they are in their home, they are in wherever they are, Father, just make a confession of faith that they are saved. Their heart were to stop beating right now. They know for a surety they're going to go sit with You, Father. They're going to be in glory. And Father God, that after having confessed that, Father, that they earnestly and diligently, Father, we have bound any spirits that would hinder them from believing, Father. I believe now, Father God, that your Holy Ghost is present to do what he does best. We cannot do anything, Father, but through my voice and through the beliefs and the faith of the people that are joining together, Father, we reach out and touch, because there is no boundary in you, Father. We reach out and touch those that are seeking the Holy Ghost, Father. Not seeking tongues, Father, but seeking the Holy Ghost, and are willing to do whatever he wants them to do. Father, if there ushers up in their innermost being a word, Father, they will speak it, Father. They will not be afraid. I bind fear, Father. Father, if they see something float across their eyes, Father, they will say it, Father. If they see it written on a page, Father, they will say it. If they hear it in their inner ear, Father, they hear it in their heart, Father, they will say it and not be afraid. Father, we loose the people, Father. We loose them to receive your Spirit, Father. And we praise you and we give you honor and glory, Father, for we know, Father, we know that you are faithful and just to give us those things that we pray for when we pray according to your will. Father, I've spent the last hour and a half or 2 hours speaking your will over my computer, Father. I know that it is your will for men and women and children to be filled with your Holy Ghost, Father. I know this is the hour, the season of your body. And I thank you for allowing me to be part of it, Father, and using me, Father, and expending me, Father, that people might receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. And I break bondages and chains and mindsets that refute what has been taught tonight in Jesus' name. I give you the praise and the honor and the glory, Father, and I thank you for your awesome presence and your mighty love for your body in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm going to turn it back over to you, Brother Dave. I appreciate the opportunity that you've allowed me to share, and God bless you.
Thank you, Rex. That was a real blessing. And I want to say to any of you out there that if you haven't up until today received the Holy Spirit, you receive him now. You just receive him now. This is a gift. Rex prayed. He prayed the prayer of faith. The brethren out there who are filled with the Holy Spirit, they agree with him. You just receive the Holy Spirit now. In Jesus' name. I know that there's still some out there that are probably scoffing, you know. Maybe somebody on the internet or some of you out there by broadcast are listening, and you're not convinced. But you remember the verse that Rex read there in Mark 16, and it says, "These signs shall accompany them that believe. In my name they'll cast out demons. They shall speak with new tongues. They shall take up serpents. And if they drink any deadly thing, it shall in no wise hurt them. They'll lay hands on the sick and they shall recover." These are things that every believer has a right to do. Now, I know some of you are picking the argument out of 1 Corinthians 14 that everyone doesn't speak in tongues. Well, I agree that everyone doesn't have the gift of tongues and interpretation. But you notice in the book of Acts, nobody demanded any interpretation, because the gift there was the gift to pray to God according to his will, that the Holy Spirit pray through you according to his will. And tongues and interpretation is basically for the body. So there was no demand for them to give an interpretation there. These signs shall accompany them, listen, that believe. That believe. The church is full of unbelievers, folks. In the early church, it was common for people to speak in tongues. Let me read this to you. 1 Corinthians 14. Verse 20, "Brethren, be not children in mind, yet in malice be babes, but in mind be," and what it says in the original, "of full age." Listen, "in the law it is written, by men of strange tongues, and by the lips of strangers will I speak unto this people, and not even thus will they hear me, saith the Lord. It happened then that the scoffers of God's people did not believe in the infilling of the Holy Spirit with speaking in tongues. They spoke against it. They were against the full gospel. They were unbelievers. You want to see why? Listen to what it says here. Not even thus will they hear me, saith the Lord. Therefore, tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelieving. What unbelieving do you think he's talking about? He's just talking about speaking to this people, and they wouldn't hear. They were the ones that were the unbelievers. They were the ones that said that this was of the devil, and that Jesus did his works of the devil. And the same Pharisees are speaking that way today, folks. Tongues are for a sign, not to them that believe, but to the unbelieving. Verse 23, if therefore a whole church be assembled together and all speak with tongues, and there come in men unlearned or unbelieving, will I not say that you're mad? But if all prophesy, and there come in one unbelieving or unlearned, he is reproved by all, he's judged by all. Now, how could he say that if you come together and all speak with tongues? Listen, when I came into the knowledge of the full gospel, I went to a church where they all spoke in tongues. That's exactly right. They believed it was necessary, and so they sought the Lord, and they all spoke in tongues. Listen, unbelieving, listen to what he just said in Mark 16. And these signs shall accompany them that believe. Are you a believer? Then you can cast out demons. You can speak with tongues. You can lay hands on the sick. And you can take up serpents. Because in Luke chapter 10, he talks about taking up serpents. And it's not talking about snakes, folks. It's talking about demons. Okay? Now, if you go back in Isaiah 28, speaking about his backslidden people. I'm going to read in verse 7 on down. It says, and even these reel with wine and stagger with strong drink. The priest and the prophet reel with strong drink. They are swallowed up of wine. They stagger with strong drink. They err in vision. They stumble in judgment. For all tables are full of vomit and filthiness, so that there is no place clean. That was his apostate people. And I want to tell you, the apostate people of God are still the same today. Verse 9. Whom will he teach knowledge, and whom will he make to understand the message? Them that are weaned from the milk and drawn from the breast. For it's precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, line upon line, here a little and there a little. Nay, but my men of strange lips and another tongue will he speak to this people. That's God's people. To whom he said, this is the rest. Give ye rest to him that is weary. The Holy Spirit is the rest, folks. You can't rest from your works without the power of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit is the one that does the work of God in us. You've been trying to serve God with your mind and trying to pick yourself up by your bootstraps. Well, God is the one that does this in us. He is the one that saves us. He is the one that does the works. And that's why he demands that you be filled with the Holy Spirit. To whom he said, this is the rest. Give you rest to him that is weary. This is the refreshing. Yet they would not hear. Therefore shall the word of the Lord be unto them, precept upon precept, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little, that they may go and fall backward and be broken and snared and taken. Wherefore hear the word of the Lord, you scoffers, that rule this people that is in Jerusalem, because you have said we have made a covenant with death, and with Sheol are we at agreement. When the overflowing scourge shall pass through, it shall not come unto us. For we have made lies our refuge, and under falsehood have we hid ourselves. Therefore thus saith the Lord, behold, I lay in Zion a foundation, a stone, a tried stone, a precious cornerstone, of sure foundation. He that believeth shall not be in haste. And I will make justice the line and righteousness the plummet. and hail shall sweep away the refuge of lies, and the water shall overflow the hiding place, and your covenant with death shall be annulled. So there was a stubborn, stiff-necked people there that didn't receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, fought against it, spoke against it, spoke against it in Jesus, spoke against it in his disciples, persecuted his disciples. You got the same bunch of stiff-necked religious folks ruling in Christianity today. The same bunch. And they speak the same things about the rest and the refreshing and the Holy Spirit. And God said if they refuse it, they're going to fall backward and be snared, just as they were in Jesus' day. They're a bunch of unbelievers. These signs shall accompany them that believe, Jesus said. And one of them was, they shall speak with new tongues. He that believeth on me, the works that I do, shall he do also. Now, I defy you to go find somebody that's doing that don't speak in tongues. The people that are doing that, folks, are the ones that are speaking in tongues. Jesus agreed with that in Mark 16. These signs will accompany them that believe. They'll speak with new tongues. Go into a church where they don't believe in speaking in tongues. Are you going to see any of the power in the works of Jesus? No. It's a dead church. They're following their mind. What does God say about the mind of the Spirit? Well, 1 Corinthians chapter 2, verse 11 says, who among men knoweth the things of man, save the spirit of the man which is in him? Even so, the things of God none knoweth, save the Spirit of God. Now, if the Spirit of truth, which is the Holy Spirit, comes to you to reveal to you the deep things of God, and you refuse the Spirit of truth, guess what? The only thing you got left is the mind of man. Verse 12, but we received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit which is from God. And Spirit here could be little s, big s. It don't make any difference in the Greek. There wasn't any difference. Okay? But the Spirit which is from God, we, who's we? That's the people of God who receive the Spirit which is from God, that we might know the things that are freely given to us of God. You want to know what God's given you? You want to have a window opened in the Spirit realm? That's the Holy Spirit. Everyone who gets filled with the Holy Spirit suddenly has a spiritual awakening. They see things in the Spirit. They understand things in the Spirit. Verse 13, which things also we speak, not in words which men's wisdom teacheth, but which the Spirit teacheth, combining spiritual things with spiritual. Now, the natural man received not the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness unto him. Now you want to know why the worldly wise Christians don't receive the Holy Spirit. They are foolishness unto him. He cannot know them because they are spiritually judged or discerned. You don't have spiritual discernment without the Holy Spirit. You're in bondage to your mind. Verse 15, but he that is spiritual judges all things, and he himself is judged of no man. For who hath known the mind of the Lord, that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. The mind of the Spirit. Who's known the mind of God except the Spirit of God, he said. Now, how are you going to know the mind of God without the Spirit of God? The Spirit of God empowers us to do what he wants us to do. He told them to tarry in Jerusalem until they received this Spirit. Now, Rex pointed out very well that we don't have to tarry anymore. We just have to receive. We don't need to be stubborn and stiff-necked anymore. The Lord has given us an awesome gift to enable us and empower us to walk in the Spirit, to discern the things of the Spirit, to know the things that God has given unto us. Thank you, Rex. That was a real good word. It was very necessary. Some of you out there that have received and manifested tongues, even tonight, you're blessed. Others, listen, you may have gotten a word. You may have received one in your mind, like Rex spoke about. You may have received something very simple. I mean, Rex got the da-da, you know. Da-da, that ain't much, you know. But you know what? He was faithful to just continue with that until God turned it into a language. And I exhort the rest of you, whatever you received, do that. If you feel good about going and getting in your closet alone with God, and you go there, and the Lord gives you a word or two, you just receive it, you speak it, you thank God. Listen, today you receive, okay? You receive. You thank God. You praise God. You give Him your tongue. You let Him speak through you according to the will of God. Do this today. Spend some time alone with the Lord. Rex said, yeah, when David was walking around the block, he was speaking tongues. You know what? That's exactly what I was doing. Matter of fact, I was singing in tongues. As a matter of fact, I'll even tell you the tune. Jesus loves the little children. It was amazing to me. I mean, that's what I felt. It was the tune that was coming out of my mouth as I was singing in tongues, walking around the block. Rex pointed out, 1 Corinthians 14, that he that prayeth in an unknown tongue edifieth himself. Oh, the word there is buildeth himself up. Buildeth himself up. You want to be built up? He pointed out in Jude, building yourself up in your most holy faith, praying in the Holy Spirit. How do you pray in the Holy Spirit? Well, Paul said, I will pray with the Spirit and I will pray with my understanding. See? So you understand that if you're not praying with your understanding, that's praying in the Spirit. That's speaking in tongues. Because you don't know what you're saying unless God gives you an interpretation. Tongues is valuable. People say, oh, it's the least gift. No, there is no verse that says that. People should quit copying what men say. What do men know? What do men know that refused the gift that all of the disciples received? What could they know about tongues? And why would you listen to somebody that knows nothing about tongues, has never spoken in tongues? Why would you ever listen to someone like that? You just notice that all the disciples received it. And that Jesus told his disciples that they believed they would receive it. Why would you listen to anybody like that? Those who have received the Holy Spirit with the evidence of tongues, they know what they got. And they can share that testimony with you. But these other people, all they are scoffers. Just exactly what the Scripture says they are in Isaiah 28. And they're unbelievers. In Isaiah chapter 28, and in 1 Corinthians 14, and in Mark 16. They're unbelievers. Are they unbelievers in Jesus Christ? No. But they're unbelievers in the gift that enables Jesus Christ to live through them. Acts 2 and 39. For the promise is unto you, speaking of the Holy Spirit, and to your children, and to as many and as far off as the Lord our God shall call unto him. This gift is for you. If you are a Christian, this gift is for you. The people that make it through this time that we're coming to, folks, are going to be filled with the Holy Spirit. Notice that in the early church, they were all filled with the Holy Spirit. And all this stuff about it all passed away, that came with a bunch of reprobates afterwards. That taught a lie of the devil. They had fallen away. Which is exactly what Paul and Jesus said was going to come, was a falling away. And they taught doctrines of demons is what they did. No, it's none of these people that are doing signs and wonders or laying hands on the sick so that they recover or casting out demons. It's not those people. Because they've rejected the power of the Spirit. And they lied about the Holy Spirit. Oh, I thank God that He filled me with His Holy Spirit. And I've prayed in tongues and sung in tongues ever since. And it builds me up. And it encourages me. It empowers me. I tell you, if I hadn't have been filled with the Holy Spirit, I wouldn't be here today. I'd be dead. Because God, through the Holy Spirit, empowered my faith to believe a couple of times when I missed a chance of leaving this world, folks. And I still had work to do. But the Bible says that God's people are destroyed for lack of understanding. Hosea 4 and 6. So don't be stiff-necked and receive everything that God has for you. Speaking in tongues, prophesying, all the gifts are freely given to God's people in order that the gift of Christ would be manifested through them. Seek, if you're filled with the Holy Spirit, then desire earnestly spiritual gifts. God's chosen several of those for you